Hello and welcome to another Network Optimist production of The Networking Fools, with your Networking Fools and hosts, J.W. Najarian and Bob Schechter, as they discuss business, finance, and lifestyle. Welcome to part two of the Networking Fool interview with Ken Rashan, the perfect networker.
Oh, we absolutely
That's a high ideal now. Now you're striking that a little bit above my head.
Well, I truly believe it. I truly believe it. Anything I could do for you guys and your network, it would be my pleasure. And when I said I would love to have you in my book, that's not for air talk. That's actually, let's get it done.
Oh,
yeah, that'll be fun. That'll be fun. I look forward to that. But actually,
that makes both of our networks better.
But I would actually just prefer to go traveling with you, so.
Well, let's do that, too.
Well, that's a book in itself.
Where would you want to go? Where would you want to go, Bob?
No, in all seriousness, I mean, my entire life I've gone to, you know, like I said, New York, New Jersey, and Florida. I actually went to California once, but that was it.
Well, so, what I recommend for you is something that is so far out
that
you would come back and you'd say, you know, now anything is possible. And I'll tell you something that's in my mind right now. I want to go to Machu Picchu or I want to go to Petra.
Oh, hey, by the way, is Rashan, is that of French descent? Is that why you started with France as your first?
It is. I got sick and tired of people saying, Rashan, that's French. Parlez-vous français? And I said, I was so tired of saying a little.
Yeah, that's it.
That's like the first thing you learn in any language you take. You're like, un poco, un poquito, un po, you know, it's all a little. Like, don't challenge me with another phrase.
There you go. I've never learned, I mean, I took French in high school, but of course, after I spent 2 years taking French, I wound up a couple of years later moving to Miami, where of course nobody speaks French. You know, Spanish is the common language down here, so now I don't have anything to go by. And, of course, nobody can understand me anyway, so.
Well, you know, my wife gets really upset with me because I say inch pesace to an Armenian guy, and he starts going, blah, 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 blah. And my wife says, why do you do that? You know you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, when I have been in other countries, though, from a safe psychological standpoint, for the most part, when you are stranger to stranger and someone asks you a question in their language, typically the answer is yes. They're basically saying, are you having fun here, or would you like some more pie? But they're not typically saying, would you like a punch in the face? It's usually a positive way.
Shake your head, yes. That's all. You know, I always wonder, when we meet somebody that doesn't speak our language, we always assume that they are stupid. Do people that listen to us do the same thing?
There's not a lot of respect for Americans in general because back when, and I'll say pre-9/11, back when it seemed like we were the empire of the world, we got away with it. And I think after 9/11, we've got humbled a lot. And when I've gone to other countries, they just cannot believe that we try and survive in just our one language. But again, Americans don't typically leave this country by too much of a distance. They go to Paris, which almost all speaks English. They go to Rome's pretty safe, and they go to the Bahamas and the Caribbean islands. It's just not too much different. And of course, Alaska. And Alaska speaks pretty good English, according to Palin.
That's good. That's true. Actually, I've been to Alaska. That reminded me. I've been to Alaska.
Hey.
That's awesome. You know, I haven't been there. I met a group of people in Sharing World Travelers. I don't know if we talked about this on Tuesday, Bob, but these are people that have been to 100 countries, and they have amazing stories about their travels. And I can't emphasize enough that if you just go to 5 countries a year, and I know that sounds maybe a little daunting for the traveling you've done, but once you do it, you'll find it really is not that much. It could be literally going to the Caribbean islands. Just some of those islands are actually countries. Going to Europe, like if you went to Switzerland and you just hopped out of Switzerland each day, you would hit 5 countries. You know?
Wow.
So you come back, though, and you do come back a different person. You come back with a lot bigger thoughts. You typically have time to read and relax, and you don't get to do that very often. So you have your mind churning and burning on all kinds of the things that you were doing back home that you could do better. And then you're reading. You're getting good good knowledge put into your brain for just new ideas that you want to try out. So I'm telling you, I have not had a vacation yet, quote unquote vacation, where I didn't come back and I couldn't have it paid for by the growth I had out of that experience.
Let me agree and disagree with you on one point.
Yes,
Ken. You know, my wife is not a camper. Her idea of camping, or going out camping and roughing it, is a bedroom at the Ritz. Okay, so when we go to a vacation, my wife wants to go. She goes to Maui. We go to the same hotel at Maui every time, the Grand Wailea. We pretty much stay in either one of the two same rooms, and we have the pool most time we're there. So what I do is I get together and I set up some speaking engagements on the other side of the island, so that I can go talk either to meet with somebody or to speak to a crowd. And that allows me to start meeting people in town and getting around, and of course they take you to dinner, and it's really great. And I'm usually calling people a week ahead of time and a week afterwards, networking and getting to know them. And I do that because when I was in the military, we'd go from country to country, to town to town, and when somebody said, "Yeah, I just went to Spain," you said, "Well, how is Spain? God, it sounds so great." They go, "Well, you know, it has this room and it has a long bar in it with some bar stools sitting there, and and there's a bunch of guys sitting there drinking." And I go, "Oh, well, I heard you went to Japan." "Oh yeah, what was Japan like?" "Well, they had this room with a long bar and bar stools, and I sitting at the bar stools drinking." And when I went down to Mexico, I went to this place. It was great. It was at the beach. It was this place at the beach with this long bar and bar stools.
Okay, well, let me stop you before you go through all the countries.
Okay.
I'm gonna tell you that you didn't really disagree with me, because all you really pointed out is that some people who would never get anything out of traveling except just to get away wouldn't get any growth out of it. You, on the other hand, just actually agreed with me, because you said, "What I did was I prepared for the trip, I taught the trip, I met the locals, and I actually got the adventure of what that place is like."
Mm-hmm.
And I was referring to people that are like us, that are trying to make a difference, that are leaders, that are entrepreneurs, that are always looking for more opportunity in everything they do. And that's what I was speaking towards. And I do agree with you. My wife, when we go on a trip, she's along for the ride. Now, fortunately, she allows me the courtesy of planning the itinerary, so it balances half for her and half for me.
There you go.
Wow. I'd be the opposite. My wife, she would enjoy herself probably, but I'm a workaholic. If I took more than a week, I would lose my mind.
Would you?
And you work, I mean, you said you were working 24/7 for all those years. How did you get to the point where you were able to just stop?
It was that abrupt awakening. I didn't know that I was working for someone else. I mean, when I was making the kind of money I was making and having that much money to waste, that someone could rip me off $5,000 a week, that I didn't even know what I was doing. All I was doing was closing, selling. And it was fulfilling in my own mind and my own reality back then. Doesn't even come close to what I want now.
Was this the person that was close to you, Ken?
Yes, it was someone I actually consider my best friend.
You know, it's funny because I've heard of these scenarios many times. My father went through one, and every time it seems, this is off the topic completely, but it always seems like it's somebody very close to you.
Yeah, someone you trust so much that there's no way they could do it.
Right.
And you know, it's funny, but they won't even communicate that they want more or that they're unhappy or something like that, because all these things are solvable with a conversation.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
but they sabotage the relationship, which is worth more than the price tag. I mean, but you know what? What's interesting, I can say this, that from even the day that it happened all the way till now, I have never thought of it as anything but a gift, because it really did awaken me that I wasn't living my life. I was working my life.
Oh, great attitude.
So I would just argue, Bob, just for one brief second, just planting the seed for you, that until you have gotten out of the country and done a solid 2 or 3 weeks of actually exploring the world and finding what the world's about, I do honestly believe that you would come back to me and say, "You know what, Ken, I have to say, in that particular interview, I thought I had the answers, that I would just be a workaholic, but I can actually manage my time in such a way that I can have the amount of time I want to build my life and the other amount of my life to work my life." The French, and a lot of the people like the French, say that they don't live to work, they work to live. And we do, we work to live. And
yeah,
I will tell you the reason I went to France is I did want to go to a place where somehow they live to be very old, smoking and drinking, and they only work 35 yeah. hours a week.
That's true.
And they take off a month a year.
That's about.
Well, what it's about is that they actually have a lifestyle that does complement a long life. We don't have that lifestyle. We have stress. We kind of destroy ourselves in how we eat, how our wellness definition is, or disregarding that wellness is even important. But, man, how far off topic can we get on the network?
yeah. Well, that's all part of networking. I mean, that's the mission is to bring people together and share, and that's what we're doing because I'm always when I hear it.
The best gift I could give you is to say that we have to figure out how we're going to do this networking event away from the United States next year for just 10 days or so and watch how it all affects all of us.
Wow. That would be me through this perfect world network you're talking about.
I don't even care what you call it. I wouldn't care. It would just be that it would affect you and it would make you and your network so much better because you're the leader of it.
Oh, no, absolutely.
That would be a psychological leap for me to be able to get away. About the closest I've ever had to a psychological vacation, if you will, is I spent 2 days in a submarine doing a tour with my son who's in the submarine duty. And, of course, you have no choice. There is nothing else to do except stop. And that was the closest I ever got to actually walking away from everything. So,
well, I'll tell you something. I have two or three... One of the close friends, the other two have been very close friends, that have cancer right now, and they actually have told me almost identically what I just told you, is that they thought they knew what life is, they're rewriting their life plan, so when they survive this, they actually do life. So I'm just going to share that with you just to really embed that seed a little further.
That's true.
I would love to be a partner in helping any leader, but any person, actually see what it is to live life before they find out it's too late to live life.
That's some really good stuff.
It's profound, but then again, what if that person thinks that the life that they're leading is exactly what they want to lead?
The only thing I would argue, Bob, real quick, is that they have to do the other to measure against what they think it is.
I'll agree with that. Yeah. Although I really thought I had the answers.
I was considered the best entertainment company out of 300 companies. Everyone came. They paid top dollar twice as much as any other place. I thought I had all the answers. I didn't have any. I had zero.
Interesting.
And I'm willing to admit it. And I'm not bragging to admit it. I'm willing to say that, honestly, it was no answer. It was really just a means to an end. And that's why some people, they would say, you know what, that person, they ruined my life. My life is over. And that would be the other side of the coin. But I really examined, why was it that I created this? Like, I created this. I created a fact that I had a friend that embezzled that much. I also created that this is the way I thought life was supposed to be. I mean, that was all me. And when you say that it's your power, then you have the power to change it, too. So I just decided to check it out. I'm not saying I have the answers. I'm just telling you that the more I've explored some of this stuff, it has really given me a lot more enlightenment.
All right. I'm going to have to lean towards that then. See if I can get myself going in that direction.
Well, you did say you wanted to go on a trip with me, so I'll just say, JW, we're going to do this, right?
Yeah, I'm game. I'm ready. You know, I would be
up for going to Armenia.
There's too many places I'd like to go to before I go to Armenia.
True.
Yeah, I would say that if we take Bob to Armenia, he may say, you know what, Ken, you're wrong. There's not a lot of reason I have to
Yeah, that's not on my list.
Yeah, that could be. But on the other side of the coin is if you went to Armenia and you met some of the most beautiful people in the world, you'd say, you know what, I thought I knew beauty of people. Because I went to Cambodia and I spent the most money I've ever spent in my life in one day. I spent $2,100 to fly from, I flew from Vietnam, I can't remember exactly what city it was in Vietnam, but I flew from Vietnam for like an hour into Angkor Wat, Siem Reap, Cambodia, and I had one day there, and I have to tell you, although the price tag was crazy, I'm not saying it because the price tag was crazy, I met some of the most amazing people in the world. These people believe that if they serve you with all the might and power that they have, that their afterlife will be better.
You know, it's funny that the first thing I thought of was, I'd like to go to Vietnam, I'd like to go to India.
I was just in India, and I'll tell you, I would like to go to India again. That new movie with Julia Roberts, although I don't think the movie's that great, I think the message is perfect.
Which one is that?
Eat,
Love, Pray.
Eat, Pray, Love. You know, I don't care what order you do it in, because in my opinion, the eating at the end would be better. the Italian scene was amazing. The movie was so incredible when it was shot in Italy, and it really dragged. But I understood the message. The message was getting in tune with your spiritual self, actually finding out why you need to be doing what you need to do to make yourself happy. She wasn't allowing herself happiness or the ability to actually commit to anybody because she didn't know who she was. She didn't love herself. But enough of that particular Siskel and Ebert.
No, that's interesting. I mean, you know, you also get to the point. I mean, I'm obviously older than both of you guys, so you almost get to the point where you resolve that this is the extent of my life and how I want to live it, and it's a little too late to start changing.
Well, you know what? We just did an interview with Marianne Williamson, and she has the saying that I love the most, that I think means something in what we're talking about, and that is, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us.
Yeah, that's enough to make a person get goosebumps and cry, because it is an amazing power that we all have. And when you consider that almost every study that's ever been done on the human mind is that we're at best doing 5% of pushing it. And when we really have to, and we give what we think is 100%, amazing things happen. And it's not even close to 100%. All we're doing is doubling and tripling and quadrupling that 5%.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I think just surviving is staying in your comfort zone. I think you really have to get out of it to live.
Agreed. Yeah, this is a very powerful conversation. I'll tell you, I have a lot of respect for you guys. You, first of all, just for the fact that you put a program together like this where you're really trying to get a stronger message and learn from that message. That's great by itself. But I really do appreciate you having me on this program. I can't wait to get to know you guys better.
What's so funny is that you said we supposedly got off the subject of networking, but I actually think this is at the heart of networking, because I was talking earlier about collecting lists and building rapport between. We just did what we talk about all the time. We sat down with Ken, who we barely know, and we just built a lot of rapport. And now we're ready to share our books, our feelings, our opinions, our other friends, our other acquaintances with each other, our time. And that's what networking is about. It's about, you know, we started this thing on our site where when we first started it, we wanted to get a lot of people to join. We did a thing where, and we still do it, Bob is really into it, and I do it every once in a while, and that is, just call a member every once in a while, and I'll just, you know, go through and, you know, throw a dart at my computer. Actually, you know, I don't do that, but I just, you know, go find somebody that looks like they're participating a little bit, and I go call them. And the difference between just sending them an email and saying, hey, welcome to the site, thanks for coming, have some fun, you know, go check out the forum, and calling them and saying, hey, how are you? Thanks for participating. What can we do better? Tell me about you. You have a family, you have kids. These people are not, these are members for life now, just because you spent 5 minutes.
Right, but I do it because I don't have a job, so it's much easier.
Well, I'm amazed that LinkedIn did kind of put us together, because Micheline Murray is the one who found that both of us needed to talk to each other.
And yeah, what does Micheline do? She's amazing, by the way.
She is amazing, and I'll tell you, I've never met her. She's in the UK. She's an editor. She teaches language. She speaks French fluently. I'm not sure what else she does beyond that, but I've been so amazed by just those two talents that she has. The other thing I want to say is really thank you. When I finally got in the program, I just want to thank you that you guys really made me feel welcome. And it means so much, and it's so important when someone comes on to a phone call and into an interview that they're made to feel welcome, and you did that job really well.
Cool. Well, it's been fun. I told JW that we'd spoken and it would be a really good interview because you just are a relaxed person. Probably because you travel so much that you have that jet lag, so it keeps you.
It's the natural Xanax.
Well, we did have a lot of laughs, and we had some dialogue. I mean, we had some content we were talking about putting into a program. So I think that that dialogue should be in a future program if you guys are willing to do it. You remember what I'm talking about, Bob?
Yeah,
about
well,
like the Yellow Pages.
Did yeah, definitely. I think we need to. I should kind of list everything, but I know we'll bring it up because the next time we have a conversation, then we'll get a little bit more serious as about the internet and how we use it as opposed to, you know, all this cordial stuff.
Well, I'm going to be in New York City next week, doing everything I possibly can to get on the air, get in the magazines, and I want you guys to join Perfect World Network. I want to promote you in the book in multiple facets. I want to promote you in the book as leaders. I want to promote you in the book as partners and also in content. I want you guys, when you get this book, to say, what could make this book better? And when you guys are ready to write a book, write it.
Ah, cool.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
That's it.
It's a blast when you meet someone and they say, so, you know, I heard you have a book, and you say, here, it's a gift. Go ahead and read it. And, you know, if they read it, they read it, and if they don't, they don't. But the point is that you're giving them a piece of you.
Yeah, that's true. But it does take a lot of work, though, to do a book, doesn't it?
It takes between 3 months and 9 months, depending on what kind of work you want to put into it, how organized, disorganized you are. I was very disorganized. It took me 9 months. I had to have my voice in the book so that when the reader read my voice, it was a conversation. And it took forever to get that feeling. The reason I have like 65-star reviews on Amazon because people say when they read it, they feel like they're listening to me and there's humor. And if I didn't have that, the book wasn't worth printing.
Absolutely.
That's cool.
Who did you use your own company? Did you publish it yourself?
I'll tell you, that's I am taboo against ghostwriters. It doesn't mean that I don't encourage other people to do it if they need to get their message and their content out. It's just, for me, I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because my message was that I had to feel like I was talking to the reader, and I didn't see how a ghostwriter could do it.
Did you transcribe yourself off tape, or did you just talk and type through your fingers?
When I was driving, I would have my iPhone on when I was taking, if it was a drive like 3 hours, I might get 15 bits that I would download, and I would listen to them, and I'd say, you know what, out of the 15, maybe 6 of these are good, and I would type them up, and I would wake up at 2 o'clock one morning and say, you know what, I got an idea, I'm going to take 2 of those bits, I'm going to put them into a chapter, and when you guys get the book, you'll see that there was a lot of thought put in the book. I didn't put out a book that was a rush, and I wouldn't put it out until it was going to be ready. But it took way longer than I thought it was. I thought I was going to be able to knock it out in 90 days, and it was not.
So it's not just a how-to book. It's more of a why-to book then.
It's a why-to and a how-to. It's philosophical, so that's a little bit of the why, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I can't encourage you guys enough that, I mean, just based on talking today, I know you guys have a great message. And you guys are living it. So
hey, I appreciate that.
I would love to be a part of helping you guys get the message out, and specifically Bob getting you out of this country.
Okay. I'm already in the witness protection program.
But let me ask you.
You have a great laugh, Bob, by the way. You have, you have the kind of laugh that, you know, there's a real person behind it, someone that you'd want to have a beer with, that you just get younger with, you know. It's really cool. Really cool.
Ah, thanks.
Hey, let me ask you something, Ken, because this is how we kind of do things. You mentioned that, hey, you guys are doing it. I'm not sitting back going, well, thanks, let me pat myself on the back. And yeah, we are, you know, the deal is we are. And what we decided to do was get out of analysis paralysis. I mean, everybody I talk to, you know, because I've worked with people and CEO, what is it called? CEO
space.
CEO space. And I've worked with people to do things. And everybody I get together with talks ad nauseum about what they're going to do. And somewhere along the line, I sat down with Bob and said, Bob, let's stop talking and let's do it. I don't care if we do it well. I don't think it has to be perfect. I haven't done so many things because I've waited for the right time and the right space and the right person, all that kind of stuff. So we kind of go with the mantra of, screw if it's great. Let's get her done. Does that parallel you at all, or do you get caught in the
totally? Way? It's crazy that you're saying this because I said it last night, and I said this needs to be a quote. I said, if something takes you 2 years to accomplish, when are you getting on the bus? Because if it takes you 2 years, you might as well get on now because you got 2 years until it's going to be done. And do you understand? It totally is. I am realizing that Perfect Networks are made. I mean, Coca-Cola, McDonald's, I don't care what you talk about. It takes so many years before it goes viral. It takes so many years before the commitment actually is taken seriously and it's a movement.
Oh, yeah. Cars, 21 years for cars and TVs.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Well, I'm in year three right now, and I don't know when it's going to actually materialize, depending on how you use the definition of materialize, but I will tell you, it's getting better all the time.
Well, you know what? Yeah. One of the things that you're doing, because we believe that social media networking right now is kind of like the cell phone and the microwave oven and fax machine of old. Everybody knows about it. Nobody knows what the hell how it's going to help them. But I believe the early adopters are going to be the winners. And so by getting in now, doesn't mean you know what you're doing necessarily or you know where it's going to end up. But by having, you know, the thing lit up and going and moving, you know, you're going to be in a much better place to utilize the whole thing.
I totally agree with you. I agree with you.
I want to make sure I don't forget to ask this one question, though. You know, obviously you're talking to JW and I, we're partners in crime here. But you have a partner in the Perfect Networker, don't you?
I have several partners, yes. Matt Cassidy and Thomas Gross. And then a new partner, Parteef Shah. And Parteef Shah actually speaks several languages of Hindi. And ironically, I'm taking Hindi right now. not to speak to him, but it was a language I hadn't taken that I wanted to learn.
You're killing me. Oh, gosh. Oh, and oddly enough, I can say you're killing me in five different languages, so.
Really? That's awesome.
Because I used to say it so much when I was on the job sites that everybody that spoke a different language would tell me how to say it in their language. You know. And,
are you serious?
Yeah, no,
I mean,
Creole,
Spanish. Can I sit here on the spot? I'd love to hear it.
The only ones I remember are in Creole, it's Moptui, and in Spanish, it's Metamatando. And I don't remember, somebody actually on the jobs told me how to say it in Hindi, and there was about four different languages that I don't remember. Like, one was in Asian language, what is it, Mandarin, which, of course, I couldn't even get my teeth to wrap around that, so...
That's a tough language. I was quite surprised how hard that was.
Yeah, it was amazing. And it was taught to me by a guy named Derek Chin, who is actually a Jamaican, and I didn't realize there's a huge contingent of Chinese Jamaicans. I'm always amazed when I get those connections.
That is crazy.
So...
That's very cool. Very cool.
Ken, let me ask you, just between you and me, because I think we're probably way over time, but what are you trying to get, what are you trying to accomplish with your networking? I know you say it helps the world and all those things, but what got you on this path? What are you trying to do? Are you trying to sell something, or?
No, I'm not. It's blatantly corny, actually. It's a calling. I don't know how to better put it.
Nothing wrong with that.
I mean, if you haven't gotten from this entire conversation that I'm just so passionate about it, and I don't really know why I'm doing it. It's just it feels right, it fits, and I'm moving forward.
Well, you know, that's funny. That's exactly what I got from it. But I thought I must be missing something, because maybe there's something, you know.
No,
I've got your emails in the past.
Meaning to it.
a lot more meaning and a lot more money, but it is. That's what I told JW, that it is. You're another one who it's your what is it called? Your noblesse oblige.
Yeah, very nice. That was very good, Bob.
Thank you. I pick up things here and there. What the heck?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Now, did that mean you wanted to kill me in what language?
Yeah. There you go. All right. Well, we really appreciate your time. We don't want to keep you too long because we're going to do this again with you.
Yes, we will. And I'm looking forward to getting the book out to JW as well. I'll be in New York next week. If you want to plan this for New York, for November, I'm good to go.
Great. Well, do we send it through Michelin? Is she your secretary or something?
No, she's not. I've never met her. She's an amazing connector and believer of what we're doing.
She's the go-between. In fact, I don't even have your email. I have hers.
It's KennethPerfectNetworker.com. You can certainly copy her. But she is amazing. She is sought after people that are looking to, you know, get more content, and she plugs me in with them, and we have a great conversation. Now, with this Perfect World Network, I am actually trying to get this to be a New York-based, London-based type of situation where in about 2 years from now, we have a meeting where all the leaders of all these different networks get together, and we really expand our minds.
Wow.
It's going to be cool. In fact, what I'll do is I'll try and put in the United States the first time. Not.
Yeah, really. Yeah, okay. Well, I just promise me it's not going to be. We're not going to like be firewalking or anything.
No, we won't. We won't. But that's good for you too.
By the way, no, I want you to think I'm very into, you know, the Tony Robbins, Deepak Chopra. So I'm very open minded about all those things. But
I cannot believe I gave $30,000 to Tony Robbins to walk the firewalk twice.
Did you? Incredible.
Totally, yeah. I mean, I would be a hypocrite if I said, do this, or I'm doing this, and I got nothing out of it. I totally got a lot out of it.
Okay.
But it is amazing, because what you're doing is you're saying, this is what I think life is, or this is what I think I'm capable of, and next thing you find out, you're capable of so much more. Just what we were talking about before. Really?
Wow. Yeah, I took a different course. I took the Harvecker course. I spent about the same amount for Harvecker to do the same thing. And what happens is, you know, when you go look at it now, you go, you know, if I go to one of his seminars, I kind of sit there and I get to the point where I'm almost bored because I've heard it, been there, done that. On the other hand, when I went through it the first time, my brain got stretched. And there's, you know, once you stretch your brain, it's really hard getting it back. And I would not be where I'm at now without the leadership of that I learned from the Brian Tracys, the Les Browns, the Harveckers, the Blair Sims.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those are expensive lessons.
No, they're. Oh, you know what?
Not necessarily.
I don't think so.
You can pick up their book too. No, they're not expensive lessons. They're not expensive lessons. If what you pay, you're getting 2 to 5 or 10 times what you're paying.
Absolutely. You know, to be honest with you, I never went through one of Harvecker's program, and I'm not endorsing him. I make no money for this. I never went through one of his programs where I thought that he overpromised and underdelivered. It just did not happen.
So now, as long as the lesson, the value was in the lesson, you feel it was worth it. Because I used to say that about my divorces.
Bob, that's awesome. Hey, Bob, you know what? Whenever I got a person that came to my door and said, hey, we would like to put you in this prime spot in this magazine, $10,000 inside cover, I didn't care that it was $10,000. And 99% of people would hear the $10,000 and get turned off and say, no way. All I cared about was one thing. Would it bring me 40?
Yeah. That absolutely, and I've always felt that way when I'm doing business. But in my personal life, I have a real. Well, that's because I don't have a personal life, so it's okay.
Hey, JW.
Yeah.
Are we gonna get Bob out of this country?
I think it's now imperative. I think we're on a mission now.
I think we are too. I take it as almost a 2011 goal, one of my top ones.
There you go.
Well, hey, you guys are really forced. How did that go? No, but we'll count Haiti or Cuba.
Oh, man. Well, because my wife is Puerto Rican, so we were thinking of taking a trip, but that's about it.
Well, no, we can combine it. We just can't make it the highlight. That's all.
Oh, okay.
No, you got to be. We got to step you out of your comfort zone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So well said. That was so well said.
There you go.
How'd you guys meet?
You know, it's pretty incredible. I tell people that I have a partner, 50-50 partner in my businesses that I've never met before. Bob and I talked.
We personally never actually met.
I will tell you, I cannot wait for either the two of you to meet or for the three of us to meet, because that has got to change.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Oh yeah, you know I.
And I do know what you mean because Michelin I have not met, and Julia Hull I have not met, and both those people have given me so many. Not just connections, but abundance. Really, truly abundance. So, we need to figure this out.
Well, I'm going to make sure I contact Michelin now, because I'm obviously, now that I have your email, I'm going to bypass her for the stuff that we do. But I do not
want
to lose
you can include her, too, because I'll tell you, she does this out of her heart. She's
remarkable. She's just remarkable. I thought she was like work for you. She was just incredible.
You know what?
She's contacting you. It's unbelievable.
Well, I need her to work for me, but on the other side, I think she wouldn't work for me. She just believes in what we're doing. And when I say we, I really mean both what you guys are doing and what we're doing. It really is. It's so cool. She gives so much heart into making sure that people have a better life. Really cool. Really cool.
Amazing. Are your partners all into the same motion and movement, that their passion there, or
they are philosophically, but I think commitment wise, they're challenged a bit with their time and their I guess life is a good way to put it. You guys seem to be like you're really alive, and that's why I'm really digging this interview so much.
Oh,
well, I'm out of work, so I have time to do all this stuff, so it's wonderful.
We're both pretty much committing all our time to this. Neither of us have a job.
Yeah, but actually, the idea is that because my business, real estate business, is just so slow, I made a commitment that I'm not going to let these 2-3 years while I'm slow go to waste when I can help people.
Exactly.
Then there are so many people, unfortunately, and I'll relate really quickly. I was connected to somebody on LinkedIn. We got very friendly, and about a month went by. This is almost a year ago now. And about a month went by, and I hadn't heard anything. And we were constantly in contact, and I just sent him an email. Nothing. I got no response. I sent another email, and I got no response until finally, about 3 months later, I got an email back from his wife who told me that he'd committed suicide, and that's why he wasn't responding. And obviously, the recession had got to him. And I don't say this to depress you, but the objective was, is I realized that because I don't have to work, I'm not financially well off, but I'm fairly bulletproof at my age. I can live for a few more years with this recession, and I felt that there are so many people in so much worse shape that I had to try and help somehow, and that's how I got started. And then I met JW, and he was like doing the same thing, just, you know, let's start a group and see if we can get people together. So we just have been having fun.
Well, tell you what, if you guys are ready to meet each other, I would like to help either with that or like to be a part of it. So I'm going to say that in November, if you guys want to meet in Florida or wherever you want to meet, I would be happy to meet.
Well, I'd look forward to it, but since I am out of work, I'll be honest enough to say that traveling right now for me is not in my budget. So
Bob, if we come to Florida, if JW would you be able to come to Florida?
I don't know. I would have to say that if I get rid of lack-minded thinking, then there would be no problem.
Well, I will tell you that I'm interested.
Okay. Well, then let's finish that in the next session that we have. We'll set it up.
Can I recommend that first of all I get the book out to you, JW?
Yeah.
Your book should be any day, Bob. And then when I get back to New York, let's set a date for November, December before 2011, and let's get together and talk about what we're going to create in 2011.
There you go.
Hey, by the way, Ken, what do you do for a living? How do you make money? Are you
my entertainment company does really well, fortunately. And if it didn't, quite frankly, I don't think I could do what I'm trying to do right now.
Oh, that's great.
And it has suffered a dramatic amount because I give a lot of time to this. But I believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's really cool.
His entertainment company, is that music, movie, what is that?
It's mainly wedding, of all things.
Wedding? Oh, okay.
Yes. The number one area in the entire United States to get married and make a living is in the D.C. area. It's crazy.
Well, yeah, they say that wedding is one of those...
Do you know why, though? You know why?
No.
Because this Baltimore, D.C. area is the biggest rat race in the entire United States. And when you have a wedding, it's the only time you connect with family.
Wow, that's interesting.
It is serious. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen in two or three other metropolitan areas, But I'm telling you, this is the hot spot.
Wow.
They do 55,000 weddings, and when you do a wedding, it's like a bar mitzvah in that it's the first time you've seen family in maybe 10 or 20 years.
Yeah. That's incredible. And by the way, JW, if you want to look it up, it's absoluteentertainment.com, and really cool website. And it shows the stuff that he does, which is really pretty interesting stuff. I didn't realize that the Washington, D.C. was so spectacular on it. But you only work in that area, though, right?
That's it. That's it. Yeah, we wanted to think grandiose thoughts of going beyond this area, but the quality duplication is almost impossible.
Hey, do you have video equipment and things like that, or do you hire now?
No, we simply do production with lighting and screens, and we do mixing, and the mixing is unbelievable.
Would you do production company? You do lighting, sound, and
we do lighting and sound. But the main reason we're a real hot spot in the DC area is because we mix. We mix music on a really very creative way.
Oh. Well, I used to have a production company, Lights and Sounds, but we did bands in the San Diego area.
Really?
Yeah.
We walked a similar path. I mean, you were in the Army. I was in the Army as well.
I was actually in the Navy, but yeah, military.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I decided to see what my dad's life was like being an officer in the Army, and so I went to Johns Hopkins to get commissioned, and I totally hated it, but I wanted to see what it was like.
Not for me, but you can't get out once you're in.
You can get out because when you're in the college environment, you get to pick whether you're active duty or not.
And there you go.
I chose inactive as possible.
There you go.
It was, I'll tell you, those people do nothing but paperwork. It's not a life.
Well, I didn't have the pleasure of being in the military because when I was available, it was the middle of Vietnam, so I was dodging that one.
Well, you know, what's interesting is the Vietnam era was when my dad served, and he went to Vietnam, and while he was in Vietnam, I went to India for the first time in my life. My grandfather was a professor of agriculture from University of Missouri, of all places. He went there for 15 years to teach the Indian country of Delhi specifically, of how to do agriculture better, and I lived with him for 1 year with my mom.
Wow.
That's fascinating. That's pretty cool stuff.
Well, you know,
I'll tell you, JW, you really blew me away when you said hello in three different languages. And
well, you know, I also started overseas. My father was in the service, so I lived, I grew up and started school and kindergarten in an old town called Carterton, England, in a one-room schoolroom, and they lived in a house that was over 200 years old. So, you know, I
still...
Mm-hmm.
You guys are killing me, man.
Yeah, I lived in England for 3 years.
Hey, Bob, I was brought up in a...
You're going to be killing us. Hey, Bob, you're going to be killing us because you're going to start both places we've never been to before.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, Bob, I'm going to ask you a question, and the question is not to challenge you. It's just a question.
Right.
Do you know how many countries there are in the world to visit?
How many countries in the world?
Yeah.
No.
How many countries
there
are in the world?
I think there's a couple hundred. That's about it.
Okay. You're very close. 182.
Yeah.
So out of 182, I've been to 65. And what I want you to do is for 2011, I just want you to go from 2 to 12. That's it. It's very manageable. I'm telling you, I will make it manageable. I will make it manageable. This is not a challenge like you can't do it. This is a challenge like when you do it, you'll be like, wow, that was not that hard.
Yeah.
No, especially when you go to Europe and you take the train, right?
I know. Exactly. There's about three ways to do this, at least. And I don't even know all the ways. But there's at least three ways I know that you can go from 2 to 12. My wife, who's from Peru, had been to two countries in her entire life. You want to know what two countries she's been to? Want to guess?
Okay. United States.
And?
Peru.
that was easy.
Yeah, it was very easy. Well, she's now been to 12, is my point. She's been to 12. I took her out to the Caribbean. We went to a bunch of countries that she had not been.
Okay. Well, but the Caribbean is not. I mean, I went there on my one of my honeymoon.
Well, then you have been. You've been.
But that's not. You're not in the country. I mean, you get off. You're accosted by some poor kid, and then you know. Then you run around shopping for, you know, you don't really get to see the country. I mean, I went to Hawaii. You know, I went to Hawaii too on one of my honeymoons, and again, you're not out in the with the Hawaiians. I'm at the Hilton Hawaiian Village. I didn't even know. You know, it was Florida. That's the same thing.
Well, you know, when you're at the Hilton, though, you can say to them, "I'd like an excursion of the island to really see the sights." And really, it doesn't matter where you are residing for safety. It matters that you're exploring still. It's still
But they take you to see the lava and to see the volcanoes, which of course I did. But I'm the kind of a traveler that I can go look over the edge of the Grand Canyon and go, "Okay, save it, let's go." So
really?
I'm a very bad traveler.
When you saw the Grand Canyon, did you really do that?
No, I really didn't. But when I saw the volcanoes, and I was in Hawaii, and I smelled the sulfur, and I said, "What did we come here for?"
Okay, guys.
You know what I mean? In other words,
do you think if you went to Machu Picchu or Jordan or the Great Wall, do you think you'd do that?
Well, it depends. If he took the Amazon River Trail to Machu Picchu as opposed to the bus ride from the city, wow, what a big difference.
Huge. But either one of those is not a comfort zone.
No, yeah. You really kind of have to get out of that comfort zone to the point where you get over.
Every time they've taken the bus ride, they say that the tires are edging the corner of the mountain. I'd rather take the river, honestly.
Yeah.
Amazon sounds safe.
That's not me. Well, to me, out of my comfort zone is actually getting out of the tourist areas. You know what I'm saying? In other words, when you say to somebody, you know, obviously on one of my cruises we went to, you know, we stopped in Venezuela. But if you ask me what Venezuela looked like, I don't know. We got off the...
Where in Venezuela did you go?
Where do we go? Where do you go when you're on a cruise? What port does it pull into?
it's a dangerous area, actually.
It was horrible.
Every cruise...
Yeah, you get off, you're in a third world country for about 10 minutes.
Now listen, Bob, that's not true. Some are third world countries that you would love to be at, and some are ones that you fear to be at, and that is one you fear to be at. Venezuela, it's a carcasses or something. It almost rhymes with you're a dead body.
Yeah, Caracas,
Caracas. I mean, Caracas is one of the armpits of the world. I mean, that is a really crappy place to go. And I've been there, and I got to tell you, I relate with you that if you went there for the first time, and it was your first time out of the United States, you'd go back to the United States and say, "I've seen the world enough to know I don't want to go out there again."
Well, no, let's back up here. If anybody's ever been to Jersey City or Secaucus, okay, you're going down the turnpike. You're going down the turnpike, and it's just it's a big freaking pit, okay? But if you took 5 minutes to drive a half hour into the country... Going west, my God, it gets beautiful. These beautiful tree-lined roads with, you know, especially in the fall and the leaves are falling, and it's gorgeous.
Hey, JW, you know a new revelation for me?
What?
Is West Virginia.
Oh, really?
I swear to you. West Virginia is like the joke of our area. I mean, it's Dundalk, near Baltimore, and it's West Virginia for how hick and how dumb the United States could be. But I went to West Virginia, and there's an area called Berkeley Springs that has the most holistic gathering of people, PhDs, I mean, people that really know what it means to be completely well.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happens to be in West Virginia.
Well, go down to New Orleans and go down into the Harris Bayou, and you get down there, and the people come off dumber than dirt, but they're also incredibly loving, and they're there for you, and
true,
the most warm people in the world. And then you cruise up to the U.S.
really loving and dumb that would die for you, or someone who's so brilliant but will walk away the second that you had a problem.
Well, yeah, exactly. And then you go up to the town. You go, "Oh, now I'm in the city." And you go to St. Charles Street to Tulane and LSU universities, and you go to Xavier University, and these people are, you know, smarter than smart, and they go to opera every night, but they're still just as loving and wonderful and inviting into their homes. The world is a great place, actually.
I don't like to go anywhere with that. I need my gun.
Well, I'll tell you what. I take off right now. Ironically, because of my production with Goodfellas, I'm being asked to do another Shark Tank type of reality show. I'm going to go to that right now. But I want to meet you guys. And I want to get to that in November.
I'm looking forward to it. And when do we actually get to see these TV shows? I mean, now that you're a movie star.
February for the Goodfellas, God willing. I will say God willing because it all has to do with funding. And then the other program I'm actually in the works with is June.
Okay. Oh, okay. So this stuff gets done long in advance then.
Well, it has to because sometimes it has to do with funding. Other times it has to do with content.
Right. That's interesting stuff.
Oh, very cool. Ken, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it, and we probably have tons more to talk about.
Hey, you guys are beautiful people. I want to meet you.
Hey, absolutely. I'm right there with you. Like-minded is like-minded, and I think we'd have a great time. I think we're brought together for a reason, of course.
Yes, and I'm gonna send the biggest thank you to Micheline because she really was so kind to put us together.
Yeah, definitely. I thought she worked for you. Now I said she works with you, so I'm gonna.
Yeah, but she works in belief.
Contact.
She works in belief of it. That's the point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's
JW.
Yes,
you got a great partner, Bob, and likewise, JW. I mean, you got.
Yeah, great.
Cool. You got.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah,
thanks, Ken.
I mean, this time has just. Like evaporated. It went. We could talk for hours.
That's true, but again, that's just because I can ramble.
I know because you've been divorced a couple times, right?
Right, and I'm from the '60s. We did a lot of drugs, so time means nothing.
And you're leaving this country next year.
Exactly. Okay.
Thank you.
All right,
guys.
Great.
Thank you. Guys are really great.
All right.
See you later.
Bye bye. Well, that was Ken Rajan, everybody, for all the Perfect Networkers. Anyway, have a great week and a great weekend and a great year, and we'll be back with you soon. Make sure you go to www.networkingfool.com to find out more about the Networking Fools and and to listen to many of the other interviews we have. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Networking Fools Show, featured on Blog Talk Radio and on the Networking Fools website at www.networkingfools.com. Networking Fools is the property of Network Alchemists. Networking Fools, Network Alchemists, Nalchemists, and Nalchemy are trademarks of the Network Alchemists, LLC, and this podcast is copyright 2010, and all rights are reserved.